Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Today, in the time we have together, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. I want to explain what it is and exactly what this means to each of us as we go in throughout the course of this life. First, we need to understand that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We find a claim to inspiration in the Apostle Paul's words to young Timothy the evangelist in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is it that God is trying to get Timothy and even those of us today to understand by stating that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God? Good people, God is wanting us to understand that as we read from the Bible, that we are not reading merely words penned by mankind, but rather as we read and study from the Bible, we're reading from the mind of God. We are reading and studying from God's communicated message unto mankind. We are reading God's inspired Word. The Bible also identifies for us how and when God accomplished the giving of His inspired message to man. During the course of His life and personal ministry, Jesus selected 12 men to serve as His apostles. Jesus loved these men, and He sought to train them for their work after His death at Calvary's cross. You see, these men were going to be responsible for the proclamation of the gospel, the good news that salvation would be brought forth through the shedding of Christ's blood conjoined with mankind's obedience. But then, too, they were going to proclaim the message of how man could not only establish a relationship with God, but how that man could maintain that relationship with God in his faith and faithfulness unto God unto the very end. In the book of John chapter 13, Jesus had told the apostles that He was getting ready to depart from them. Today I tell you that these men did not fully understand exactly what it meant that Jesus was going to depart from them. But good people, what they did understand is that they loved Jesus, and the idea that He was not going to be with them in the way that He currently was brought great grief to their hearts. In the book of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus sought to comfort them with these words. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and away, you know." You see, Jesus wanted these men to understand that His going away was for their benefit and blessing. And today I tell you that not only was His departure a blessing and benefit to the apostles, good people, His departure was a blessing to all those who are true Christians and remain faithful to God in and throughout the course of their life. You see, Jesus has gone into heaven to prepare for our arrival. Jesus also told these men, in the context of John chapter 14, that He was not going to leave them as orphans. In fact, in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 26, He told them that the Father was going to send the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, and that in coming, the Holy Spirit was going to bring all things to their remembrance. You see, these men were going to be able to remember the exemplary life that Jesus had lived before them. But then, too, they were going to be able to recall the multiple lessons that Jesus had taught in their presence during their life and work and their ministry together. But then, too, in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus promised the apostles this. He said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Good people, the Holy Spirit was going to guide these men. And in guiding these men, He was going to enable them to speak all truth. And He was going to show them things to come. In Paul's message to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, he explains how God accomplished this. He tells that God, the Holy Spirit, took the mind of God, placed into the mind of man. And then when we understand what Peter states, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "Holy men of God then spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit." You see, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. But yet, throughout time, mankind has sought to destroy the Bible and its authority. But today, I tell you that these attempts have failed and that the Bible has withstood the test of time. Why? Because the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But then, too, our God wants us to understand that the Bible must be our guide in all matters of life. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter, by way of inspiration, says, "As His divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness." God wants us to understand that His message, His Word, must be our guide in life. The Bible teaches us how that we are to conduct ourselves as citizens. The Bible explains to us the necessity of training our families according to the ways of God. The Bible reveals to each and every one of us how that we are to apply ourselves in the workplace and in school as citizens of the kingdom of God. And then yet too, the Bible explains how that we are to submit ourselves to those who rule over us in government, of which God is responsible for. You see, the Bible must be our guide in life. But then also, God wants us to understand, whenever it comes to matters of religion, God expects the Bible to be our guide. In the book of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said that God is spirit and that God expects mankind to worship Him. But yet also, in telling us this, God wants us to realize that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, God does not want man to worship Him just according to the way in which man desires, but rather that God has prescribed a way in which He expects man to come before Him. How do we find that way? Good people, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 17, and verse 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." We can go to the Bible and explain, either explicitly or implicitly, how God expects mankind to worship Him. And what we need to do is to dig out in the Scripture, the New Testament Scripture, and to find exactly the commandments of God concerning how God wants to be worshipped. And then, too, we can turn to the examples of the first century church to see the way in which these people worshiped God and how that God was pleased with them whenever they followed according to the pattern that He had prescribed before them. You see, God has given us a way in which He wants to be worshipped. He desires worship. But He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yet also, there's another aspect of this as to the Bible being our guide. God wants us to realize that it must be our guide in matters of salvation. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel message is powerful. It identifies sin and the enormity of sin, how that sin separates mankind from God. But then, too, the Bible convicts us of sin. It causes us to grieve over the sin that we commit against God. And then, too, as we consider the consequences, how that we do not have a relationship with God. And not only do we fail in our relationship with God here, but then, too, we will fail eternally unless we obey Him. Good people, the Bible does not stop there. The Bible serves as our guide to make one wise unto salvation. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. How does the Bible make one wise unto salvation? Because it reveals Christ and the things of which Christ commands us to do. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." And whenever we explore what Christ has taught us personally, as well as what He has taught through the inspired men and the examples of the first century church, good people, we can come to an understanding of our God and the salvation that is delivered and brought forth through Christ Jesus. And then in understanding those things, we can obey them and must obey them in order to have the forgiveness of sins and hope beyond this life. The Bible must be our guide in matters of life, in matters of religion, and in terms of salvation. But then finally, God wants us to understand that the Bible will be the standard used in the day of judgment. Life as we know it here upon the face of this earth is not going to continue on forever. In fact, life itself teaches us that an individual lives for a time and then they die. But God tells us that even if an individual were to live until the return of Christ, that life on this earth is not going to continue as what it is now. In fact, what we learn in the time in which Christ comes back, according to what Paul told those in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says that Christ will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 and following, when this takes place, when Christ returns, the earth will melt in fervent heat. But what's going to take place at that time? The Hebrews writer says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as is appointed a man once to die, but then after this is the judgment. You see, good people, God tells us that there will be a day in which we will stand before Him in judgment. And no one will be able to escape that. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, he said, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, even those who are atheists and agnostic skeptics. They will be a believer in God in that day. But today I tell us that it will be too late. Why? Because God says that today is a day of salvation. In that day, whenever we stand before God in judgment, Paul told those in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we will give an account of the good and the evil that we have committed in this life. If we have been obedient to God or not, if we had been obedient to God but yet had not lived faithful to Him and turned away, we will give an account of those things. And Paul told those in Rome in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, in the day in which God will judge the secrets of man according to my gospel. What does Paul mean? Good people, he is trying to explain that in the day when that man stands before God, the Bible will be the standard used. Friends, I pray that in life you will understand and accept the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. I hope that you will, in understanding that, allow the Bible to be your guide in matters of life, religion, and unto salvation, realizing that one of these days the Bible will be the standard used whenever we stand before the Almighty God.